If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, beginning of verse 1. And we read, "After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples and sent them out on their missionary journeys, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, 'Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?' Jesus replied, 'Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me.'" As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the laws prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." As we come to this portion, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we look to you again this morning to take this conversation with John's disciples, then later a conversation about John himself, to apply it to our own hearts, to our own lives. Lord, may your Spirit speak to each one of us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Matthew has finally finished his introduction of Jesus and the other main characters found in his gospel. Using scripture, Matthew has shown that the prophecies concerning the Messiah, the Christ, were fulfilled by Jesus. Following John the Baptist's introduction of Jesus' ministry, Matthew demonstrated the power of Jesus through his miracles. He included Jesus' principles for his disciples in his teachings and the Sermon on the Mount, his sermon on missions. Now, almost 2 years into his ministry, Jesus has sent his disciples out to be his ambassadors to different parts of Galilee and Judea, while Jesus remained to minister alone in Galilee. Matthew wrote that Jesus had a two-part ministry, to teach and to preach in the towns of Galilee. Jesus continued to explain and to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God was at hand. He most likely taught in the streets as well as in the synagogues. Those who heard him didn't know it, but time was getting short. It was time for the leaders and for the people to make a decision about Jesus. In today's scripture, John the Baptist had doubts about his decision, and he asked Jesus, "Who are you?" Back in Matthew chapter 4, Matthew wrote that it was John's arrest that led to the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Galilee. As you probably remember, John had been put in prison by Herod for preaching against King Herod's marriage, his marriage to his brother's wife, who also happened to be his niece. Before his arrest, John the Baptist had proclaimed Jesus as the coming Messiah. He had called him the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He'd baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. He had even said in John chapter 3, verse 30, "He must become greater, I must become less." But now, John was having doubts. He was puzzled by what he heard was happening and what wasn't happening. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who was to come, That is, are you the Messiah? Or should we look for someone else? Rather than allowing his doubts to grow and become insurmountable, John didn't wait. But he sent his disciples to Jesus right away. In his heart, I think he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. But things weren't going the way John expected. And because of this, John started developing some doubts. He asked for confirmation for his faith. He believed, but his faith had become weak. Like the man in Mark chapter 9, John was saying, I believe, help me overcome my unbelief. In these opening verses of chapter 11, we see at least two reasons for John's doubts. The same kind of reasons that causes doubts today. The first reason is difficult circumstances. Difficult circumstances. You see, John had been given a mandate from the angel of the Lord. Let me remind you of that. Turn back to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 11. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, who was in the temple. He was standing, and the angel stood at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John's mission was to preach and announce the coming Messiah in the kingdom of God, and that's what he did. Turn back to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. A little bit later, John's grown up. And Matthew 3, verse 1 says, in those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jump down to verse 7. But when John saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. But John's brief career had ended in disaster, and now he was silenced. After only about 18 months of preaching, John was locked up, confined and isolated in an underground dungeon. For someone like John, who had perhaps never lived a long time in a house, this must have been agony. After being in this prison for more than a year, John began to wonder if he was right. He started to second guess himself. Where was God's justice? Where was this judgment, this baptizing with fire? Who was Jesus really? In his mind, John may have been praying, Lord, why don't you help me? John knew where to go to get his answers, to answer his doubts. John's response was to go to Jesus. And so unable to go by himself, he sent some of his disciples to Jesus. In his love, in his understanding, Jesus didn't chew out the disciples and send them back to John with their heads hanging low. Instead, Jesus performed some miracles just for John's sake. Writing on this same event, Luke 7, verse 21 says, "At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind." Jesus went on and promised spiritual blessing if one doesn't waver in the midst of trying circumstances. As he said, "Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." Difficult circumstances are painful and trying for everyone. But our response should be the same as John's, going to the Lord and asking him to put a stop to our doubts and anxieties and fears. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." Jesus will answer, and he won't belittle anyone for their doubts. Difficult circumstances. And a second reason for doubt is unfulfilled expectations. Unfulfilled expectations. See, like everyone else, John had expectations of the Messiah. If Jesus was the Messiah, all that Israel had been looking for almost 2 years now, why wasn't Jesus doing anything to oppose Rome, whether in words or in actions? Jesus' miracles were okay, but they weren't universal, as everyone was expecting. The Jews were expecting many prophets before the coming of the Messiah, not just Elijah. Maybe Jesus was just one of these prophets. John had preached that the Messiah would bring judgment on all people. So where was it? Instead, Jesus was sending out his disciples to heal and to preach that the kingdom was at hand. But there was no judgment. Jesus didn't avenge the righteous, like John, who was still suffering in jail. Jesus didn't even defend himself. John had some incorrect expectations of the Messiah, and they were causing his results and his doubts. Think what we need to learn from this is that every Christian needs to know the truth of God's Word. And for that reason, we need to study it continually. Then knowing what God's Word says, we won't have unrealistic or incorrect expectations. This in turn will protect us from doubt and help drive it away when it does try to creep in. Every Christian needs to be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, who were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were true. Two possible reasons for John's doubts, for our doubts, are difficult circumstances. Things just weren't going the way John expected. John went to Jesus for confirmation, and Jesus understood. And the second is unfulfilled expectations. John had incorrect expectations of the Messiah. And thinking of that, Christians need to know God's Word. Jesus didn't respond to John's question with just a simple yes or no. As the creator of all things, Jesus knew that John needed more than just words. So Jesus gave John's disciples evidence that they could take back. Before their very eyes, he displays his power and his authority by doing many miracles. Jesus didn't do anything to relieve John's physical suffering, but he sent proof that he was the Messiah, proof that was prophesied by many prophets in the Old Testament. Jesus finished by giving a gentle warning, saying in so many words, "Don't continue to doubt if you want to have the blessings of my joy and my peace." John and his disciples had to look at the big picture. Look at the blessings, the judgments that were being brought, blessings of healing, good news to the poor and oppressed, and judgment to those who rejected Jesus' ministry and message. Notice that Jesus didn't condemn or belittle John for having doubts. Instead, after John's disciples left, Jesus turned to those gathered around and gave a glowing tribute to this greatest of those born to women. There are several reasons for this, things that we could also look for in our own lives. John had strong, unmovable convictions. John didn't waver like grass or a weed swaying by the wind. He stood firm against the winds of adversity, of danger. That's why he was in prison. Whatever the people went to see, it wasn't a weak or indecisive man. He stood up to the teachers of the law, to the Pharisees, and even to Herod himself. John had strong convictions, and he stood by them. Second, John denied self. John was not a self-seeker or a self-server. He was not interested in the ease and the approval of the world. He didn't dress in fine clothes. He was so consumed, caught up by God's call, that he was not attracted to the world and its standards. His devotion to his ministry outweighed personal interests and comforts. He denied self for the sake of his ministry. His lifestyle aided his own physical and spiritual discipline. And third, Jesus said that John was more than just a prophet. John was a prophet because he was God's spokesman, the first spokesman in almost 400 years. But John was more than just a prophet. He was the one about whom prophecy had been given. He was the prophet who had announced the arrival of the Messiah, the prophet Jesus named from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. And in quoting that verse from Malachi, Jesus said that John was this messenger. Jesus went on to say that among those born of women, there's not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. To emphasize the seriousness of what he said, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Listen." John was the greatest human being who had lived until that time. John's message was great because of the greatness of the one he introduced. But so that people didn't misunderstand the nature of John's greatness, Jesus added, "Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Although he was a spiritual giant among men, John's unique greatness was in his role in human history, not in his spiritual inheritance. In his spiritualness, he was equal to every other believer. And finally, John was the culmination, the climax, of the messianic prophecies found in the law and the prophets, all of which look forward to the arrival of the messianic kingdom. John's ministry was to prepare the nation for Jesus and to present Jesus to the nation. John was like Elijah externally in his rugged independence and his nonconformity, and internally in his spirit and his power. Because Israel didn't accept the message of John the Baptist, John could not be the really Elijah prophesied later on in the book of Malachi, who would come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. There's yet another prophet like Elijah who is yet to come. Perhaps he's going to be one of the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. And Jesus finished this section with a warning. "He who has ears, let him hear." In essence, Jesus, I think, was saying, John is a prophesied forerunner of the Messiah. As John has said, "I am the Messiah, you must decide whether or not to believe." There's an old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. God sent his messenger, but many refused to recognize him. God sent his truth, but they refused to accept him. John 1:11 says, "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." God sent his message, but it's up to man to choose. As Joshua said in Joshua 24, verse 15, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." This is why Jesus finished with the appeal that those who have ears should use them to hear. Jesus responded to John's questions. Jesus gave John's disciples proof, and he gave a gentle warning. Jesus' tribute to John the Baptist, he had strong, unmovable convictions. He denied self. He was more than a prophet. He was the culmination of the law and all the prophets. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to see as I read throughout the Bible that men and women have doubts, even in the Bible, and that they got depressed. Some of them towers of strength in God. People like the prophet Elijah, King David, Naomi, who changed her name to Mara, and John the Baptist. If these strong, these wise, these brave, these joyous people can experience doubt and depression, we should not be surprised when doubt and depression come our way too. John knew that his call was from God. He had done what God demanded. Even Jesus said that he was the greatest born to women. And what were the results? He'd already spent a year in jail. And although John didn't know it at the time, he would end up being beheaded. Like John, we may have our doubts because of difficult circumstances, unfulfilled expectations. Things just aren't working out as we think they should. And these doubts can easily lead to depression. If we're going to rise from our doubts and depression, we need to go to the Lord like John did, in faith and trust the instant they begin to grow. David wrote a lot about depression. Turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Begin at verse 4. This does not look right to me. Oh, I'm in Isaiah. Psalm 34, beginning at verse 4. David writes, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. When we are troubled, rather than looking at ourselves or even going to self-help books, we need to go to our Lord and our Savior. But when we go to the Lord, we must not expect his solutions to necessarily be our solution. If John expected to be let out of jail, he didn't get what he wanted. Isaiah 55 verse 8 reminds us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. But as the omniscient, loving, eternal God, we know that his way and his timing will be the best for us. As Paul wrote in Romans 8:37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The next time depression comes your way, or even doubts, take your eyes off of yourself and turn to God. David wrote in Psalm 42, verse 11, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Verse 50, chapter 55, verse 22 adds, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Isaiah writes in Isaiah 41, verse 13, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Solomon sums it up in Proverbs 5, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. When doubt, depression comes your way, take your eyes off of yourself and turn to God. Let's pray. Lord, doubts, depression come to all people. Lord, I pray that we will be wise, that when they do start beating on our outside, that rather than getting bent out of shape, rather looking at ourselves and saying, woe am I. Lord, may we come to you and give those doubts and depressions to you. And Lord, may we walk as with hind feet across the mountaintops, as Habakkuk wrote, because our faith and our trust is in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.